Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Welcome back to the show. Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks.
All right, real quick, before we get into the caps, I just wanted to share with you guys some messages I've been going back and forth with the guy. It's been involved with like stadium development, you know, on a lesser scale, but in other areas and other sports. And he heard our conversation. I know. I just want to just give me 10 seconds, okay? I want you guys to hear this. Specifically, the argument that Drab had about, you know, smaller in, say, D.C. than like in Buffalo, right? It, a lot more people. The counter to that is... the flip side of that argument is that the development and stadium that goes to the city is also spread across less people, so that whatever benefits they get more of the benefit, right? So that's the opposite argument to it. So if you're paying less, you get less of the benefit. If you're paying more because there's fewer
what
people.
Benefit other than using the stadium?
Well, the benefit could be, and this is where we talked about it. This is exactly my question. What benefits do they really get? And he said, revenue, jobs, mainly the sales tax that comes from consumer spending alone will be massive. And then he said, and then this is the question I said, how does that get redistributed to the taxpayer? Won't DC just spend that? And he says, DC could spend that, yes, but that's a politics problem, not a development problem. If they took the new revenue that is generated when you build stadiums like this and say they invested it in DC public schools 10 times more, then DC residents would get that benefit.
Yes.
The problem is that often is that, you know, politicians come in and they use it for their own pet projects, the extra revenue that comes in. So in his opinion, and I'm of this, and I think we were all of this, that the next step really is residents need to say, where is this extra revenue that this is going to generate? Because they're going to show 20 different models of all the different revenues going to generate. How does it get redistributed to the taxpayer? How are we going to see it? Where's that money going to go? Make sure it doesn't go to all these other various projects that no one else cares about. So that's the, just, you know.
Yes, it's very complicated. She's dealing with the $1 billion budget.
Yeah, but it's not as simple as, oh, it's a smaller area, so they get less benefit.
All right, we could talk more about that throughout the show.
All right, let's head out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Say good morning to Greg Wyshynski, ESPN national hockey writer. What's up, Greg? Good morning.
Man, how hard do you think Ted Leonsis rolled his eyes when all this stadium stuff came out? And he's like, I got a team that can win the Stanley Cup. I got Ovechkin breaking the Gretzky record. Mm-hmm. And I know that the majority of DC fans are going to be talking about replacing RFK for like the next month
still
and a half.
It's still early.
Yeah, it might not be passed.
If they continue to win and they build momentum, I think that everyone will be on board.
And you know what?
Greg,
Ted got $500 million from the city to put into Capital One Arena.
Right, to stay.
That he didn't have to pay for to stay. So he's going to upgrade a bunch.
I'm sure he's happy that his own like arena plan debacle probably will be forgotten in memory hold now because of you know everything how that worked out. It's just really funny. Like as you boys know, I used to live in DC for a long time, and like you know every single time we got close to getting the stadium done and a replacement for RFK, it just became such mania. So I can completely relate to the coverage and the attention it's getting because it is kind of cool if we're being honest.
Greg, getting back to this series. Game three on Friday night when Willie and Josh Anderson were on the bench fighting. When's the last time you saw a fight go onto the bench where the coaching staff had to back up and step up to another level of the bench and get out of the way? That's the first time I've seen it on the bench.
Well, I was born in 1977, so I don't have the context for most of the 1970s in the NHL, but then.
Right.
I mean, like it is the kind of thing that you never see, and it was, and you know what's funny is like they didn't even get a fighting major. There hasn't actually been a fighting major, I don't think, in the playoffs yet, which is kind of amazing that we're this deep and there hasn't really been a fight. Well, there might be one now. I think yesterday there was maybe one in the end of the Toronto game, but. Yeah, that was chaotic. But, you know, I wrote about this the other day when we did a little roundtable on ESPN.com. Like, this is the essence of Tom Wilson. This is what he does. I mean, he's someone whose physical presence and agitation and kind of cult of personality can influence a series. I mean, usually it's to a big hit like we saw in the Carrier play the next game. But it could also just be his antics, and he becomes a focal point. I mean, I think I saw like Montreal fans are putting his crying face on T-shirts and stuff. I mean, this is the value of Tom Wilson, and it's not always been appreciated by a lot of fans outside of DC because they just see him as a guy who injures people, but they don't see the guy that does all these things to kind of like change the course of a playoff series, and then oh, by the way, also be good enough offensively to hang with some of the best offensive players in the world for the majority of his career.
So, Greg, is Montreal's response to, I mean, Willie's clearly living in their heads. We know that at this point. Is their response really to trot out Arbor Jakai? And I think I'm getting his name correct. I mean, are Caps fans supposed to be scared of this 6'4" pylon loser? I mean, Tom Wilson scored more points in the first 3 months of the season than Jakai has scored in his entire pathetic career. That guy stinks on ice. And if that's the best response Montreal has, then this series is going to get wrapped up quickly.
First of all, I appreciate you making an attempt at his name because I just call him by his nickname, which is Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Because his nickname is literally Wi-Fi because his name looks like the default password that you get on like the back of your router. Like,
that's
I'm not
true.
Kidding. Like, that
right,
is the actual nickname for that dude in Montreal.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I mean, you know, everybody tries to like have their you know, countermeasure that they can deploy against a player like Tom Wilson. And ultimately it doesn't matter. Ultimately it just becomes like you're kind of inferring a distraction and like, you know, a downgrade to your lineup in the hopes of trying to counteract something. And, you know, Montreal probably shouldn't be there in their headspace right now. They've got probably bigger fish to fry in the series. But that's the Tom Wilson effect.
By the way, Greg, I have determined from watching this series that Montreal fans, at least the ones that are in the Bell Center, they are scum. They are classless because of the way they were jeering Logan Thompson as he was limping off the ice, couldn't put weight on his foot. I said, those are miserable human beings, and I know that everybody loves to genuflect at the Bell Center. Oh, it's the greatest place in all of hockey. They're so loud. It's an experience unlike any other. They're losers, and hopefully the Bell Center's empty on Friday night because the Caps hopefully close them out in five games tonight.
Well, you kind of have to take the best and worst of it, right? Like, the best of it is that, and even like Caps players are talking about it, the atmosphere at Bell Center for a playoff game is unprecedented. That place is the loudest place in the league. Those fans are insanely rowdy and passionate about their team. But unfortunately, that passion also manifests in moments like, you know, booing injured players. And if we're going way back, you know, calling the cops when one of their players is injured by an opponent. I mean, like, it's a mania that exists in Montreal. It's not necessarily unique to Montreal, but in the NHL, I mean, it is the epicenter of we have to always have it in the back of our head that there may be a car on fire outside of the arena if they win a playoff series.
So what are you hearing on some of these injuries? We were shocked that Logan Thompson couldn't put any weight on his leg, and then he was back for the next game. It was very surprising. Montembeau was obviously out for game four. Is he out for the rest of the series? Is Dobesh going to be in there? Which, of course, is a huge plus for the Caps that they've got a firing on a backup goalie. Although he played pretty well in the first couple periods in that game, but you certainly want to face a backup. So what are you hearing on those two guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Thompson, I completely agree. I was utterly shocked to see him back in this series.
Yeah.
The way he came off the ice, it looked like it was going to be something, especially when you're a goalie, a lower body injury could subvert everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
So to see him back in there was one of the biggest shocks of the playoffs so far, insofar as injuries go. Not sure about Montembeau. I mean, like you said, I think they have confidence in the kid. And him getting as much time as he's gotten now in the series, his confidence is probably growing. So, they need him, and they need good goaltending to beat the Capitals. But ultimately, I think what Montreal probably needs is a bit more offensive pop in this series, because it could be a situation where they just have to outscore the Capitals now.
Joined by Greg Wyshynski, ESPN national hockey writer, on the Rude guest hotline. So, Greg, if you have any tips for how the Caps can improve their power play in this series, please send them to Spencer Carberry 5 minutes ago, because it's been painful to watch. And you touched on Montreal's lack of offense. The only reason they're really still in it is because they've been so good on the power play. Can the Caps turn the power play around, not only for this series, but if they advance for the series against the Hurricanes, if they get out of this one?
Well, I mean, Montreal was no pushover on the penalty kill this season. They were ninth in the league. I mean, they were pretty good all season long. But I expect the Capitals will advance. Okay, and then last night we saw the Carolina Hurricanes eliminate what was left of the Devils in that series, because the Devils were just they basically beat an AHL defense by the end of that series. One thing that the Carolina Hurricanes did was they completely shut out the Devils' power play. Like, they did not allow a power play goal throughout the entire series. I think they ended up 13 for 13 or 14 for 14. And, that's a penalty kill that was number one in the regular season, a penalty kill that traditionally is the best in the league. They're intense. They pressure you. They're trying to score. They have what's called a power kill, where they're trying to score as much as you're trying to score, even though they're shorthanded. And it is a real point of concern if you can't crank up your power play against the Carolina team, because the games are played so tightly and so close. A special teams goal here or there is going to make the difference.
I mean, some of the guys, I mean, Stromer had a great year, Dylan Strome, and he's just been so consistent. Obviously, Wilson. But, man, Duhaime, he was huge in this game. I just, some of the guys that are just kind of stepping up, you know what I mean? And I have trouble pronouncing the guy's last name that we got from the Pens.
Bovillier. Just go,
yeah.
Bovey.
Bovey.
Yeah.
Bovey. He's been huge. Just like they've just kind of spread out the production. And I'm hoping that can continue tonight in game five.
Well, it's one of the reasons people have sort of underrated the Capitals coming into the playoffs. Like, I've seen them a bunch. I think they're a really good team, and I think when they play Spencer Carberry's system, they're a team that could easily play for the conference championship, if maybe beyond that. But there's a lack of respect because people look at the roster and they see Alex Ovechkin and then a bunch of randos, right? And so they don't get it. Like you said, this team has a unique ability to find a different hero every night. They spread the offense out when they're playing well. They're not over reliant on Ovi, even though he's been fantastic this season. And I wrote about this earlier this year, in kind of a contrast between how the Capitals retooled around Ovechkin and the Penguins have completely failed to do the same thing about Sidney Crosby, as these guys have had parallel tracks for their entire career. And, finding an Anthony Beauvillier who, at this point in his career, is kind of like a complimentary journeyman, and then having him be the third leading scorer on your team or second leading scorer on your team in the playoffs is what the Caps keep doing. I mean, the Dubois trade was a big swing for a guy who was seen as a toxic asset, and he was one of the best two-way forwards in the conference this year. You know, all throughout the lineup, there's different stories like this, and the Caps front office deserves all the credit in the world for populating this roster with really, really smart additions that have all paid off.
What have been your impressions of Ryan Leonard, the 20-year-old youngster they added with just a few games left in the regular season?
I mean, he's a kid in the playoffs, right? He's playing, you know, I think, you know, we all kind of knew that he'd probably settle in around the ice time he's getting, which is, I think, around 11 minutes at last check. He brings energy. He'll make a difference at some point as he gets his sea legs under him in a, you know, you have to remember that, like, the Stanley Cup playoffs are basically a different sport than what Ryan Leonard jumped into in the regular season. Like, the entire game just gets ratcheted up to so much higher speeds and so much more physical intensity. It's like probably nothing he's ever seen. So, listen, he's a special player. I think that they've got themselves a really, really good player, and also a player who, once he does find that comfort level in the postseason, has shown in his career that he's a gamer. Like, he comes to play when there are postseason tournaments, both international and collegiately. So I love him. And I do think that it speaks volumes about what the Capitals think of him when they didn't go out and try to land, you know, a huge big name winger at a trade deadline, knowing that Ryan Leonard was going to arrive at some point.
Not that, you know, I'm not banking on the fact that they're going to advance. I hope they do, and I hope they do it tonight. But let's just say they do advance past the Canadiens. Is there another team just in the Eastern Conference right now that you would put head and shoulders above the Caps? You know, Panthers, Toronto, any of the Carolina, who they would play? Or do you think the Caps match up with all of those teams that they possibly could play in the next round?
Man, this Capitals PTSD is still real, man. Of course they're going to advance past this series. Come on.
All right, I'm not banking on it. I've seen a lot of things with this team.
Yaroslav Halak is not walking through that door. He'll be fine.
Yeah, we still have residue, listen, man, though. No, you know that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, no, I'm fully aware. I'm fully aware. Like, the demons still haunt the arena. But that's also why, I mean, as a sort of transition here, I mean, I would have said Toronto would be on that list of teams that I thought were better than the Caps, but now all of a sudden they're getting haunted by postseason defeats of past. I've said for weeks that, like, I don't think Ottawa is good enough to beat Toronto, but Toronto is good enough to beat Toronto. Like, the minute that they get inside their own heads and start thinking about the crushing weight of not having won the Cup since 67 and all the stuff that comes with being the Leafs, like, that's when they start blowing it. And last night was not good. Last night was a problem. And we'll see if their new head coach, Craig Berube, can kind of get them to move on and move past their own mental baggage. The team that I think everybody is looking at right now is Florida. Like, they still got it. You know, the core of that team is just so good. And when they crank it up, they're able to just kind of take over games. And when we talk about the physicality of this series and the Tom Wilson of it all for the Capitals, well, Florida is a team that is just a bunch of bullies. I mean, they're physical from the best players in their team to the role players in their team. And as the Tampa Bay Lightning are finding out right now, even though they've played a lot of hockey and making the Stanley Cup final twice and winning the Cup last season, they've still got a bunch in the tank, and they're clearly the best team in the East right now.
Craig, good stuff.
Awesome.
It's Craig Wyshynski. And you know what? He doesn't have to pay taxpayer dollars in D.C. Nope. For whatever stadium comes here or
he
not.
He does not. Doesn't faze him.
Dude, I don't want to date myself, but my RFK memory was being at the University of Maryland and going to see the first couple seasons of D.C. United, but dressing in my New York, New Jersey Metro Stars jersey with all the other New York, New Jersey kids going to Maryland and going to watch MLS there in, like, its nascent years. That was such a fun time. What a cool stadium that was.
Definitely.
Are you covering any particular series right now?
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Not. I mean, I was covering the Devils in Carolina because I'm up in Brooklyn, so okay, it's kind of a hop skip to Jersey. But I think I'll probably be trying to hit a game seven this weekend if Dallas and Colorado gets there, or if the Battle of Florida gets there, because those are the two series that I think probably have the most juice right now.
Cool.
All right, Greg, good stuff. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Thanks, pal.
Anytime.
Yep.
All right, buddy.
He's awesome.
Remember, Mike Rizzo is going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock, the Nats GM. But coming up next, the secret to healthy aging.